as I would say before, it's embrace change. Go with what's happening. Look for the positives and start the change within yourself as well. If you don't like the world as it is, or as it might appear to be moving, look at it, look inside, see what you can do inside, and work on yourself, and the relationships and the world around you will start to change in the way that you want.
Life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Well, in a world where challenges are plentiful, it's easy for us to feel discouraged. Yet with enough guidance and support, most people can achieve more in life than they ever dreamed possible. Well, beyond your fears is everything you ever dreamed of. But the Dr. Stem Show will give the voiceless a voice and the hopeless hope. And now, here she is, Dr. Stem.
Today's show, we're going to title it, Your Spiritual Life, Consciously Connecting with Heart and Soul. Do you ever wonder if it's possible, if it's even possible to live your life from a place of authentic spirit connection? This will be probably something new to a lot of listeners that are listening out there. What is spiritual connection or even authentic spirit connection? Well, I have an expert with us today that will help us understanding how to live or lead a life of spirit. But before I start, let me ask you, have you ever wanted guidance with love, relationship, career, wealth, especially now, the beginning of a year? Have you ever wanted guidance with creating life opportunities, developing constructive perspectives, spiritual development, help with overcoming life events and trauma? Have you ever needed help making sense of complicated or difficult situations and finding constructive solutions? Or maybe finding peace and a path to move forward? Getting understanding after a loved one's passing, losing a job, getting divorced, losing a loved one, or just needed a listening ear and a source of additional support? Well, all these and many other situations is where you'll find help with our guest today, Steve Wentworth. So with that, I want to welcome Steve Wentworth to the show today.
Hello, Dr. Stem. How are you?
I'm good. It is great. So good to have you. And just so our listeners know, where are you calling from?
I'm in England.
You're in England. I'm so excited. By the way, thank you so much for allowing me to do this interview with you. I'll just tell the audience a little bit. I actually found you, guess where I found you? On Facebook.
Oh, okay.
There was a lady whose son was in a car accident and died suddenly. And she was in deep grief. And it so happened that it passed through my page. She's one of my friends in the UK. And you had a meditation that you have, you know, among many other meditations that you have on your website. And she had that meditation on her page. So I listened to it and I knew in an instant that the world needed to know that there's such support as you do give, you know, to those that are in grieving as well as those that are in need.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah.
So, you know what? Let me also tell the audience who you are, and then we can get into conversation about the work that you do.
Okay.
All right. So, Steve Wentworth is a spiritual thought leader. He's a life and business coach, a healer, and author. He's a regular featured on expert on talk radio in the UK. He broadcasts nationally in the UK, and also he's available online to international audiences. Shows that he does include, you know, topics that are philosophical discussions, practical advice on personal advancement and self-improvement, as well as methods for spiritual empowerment and unfoldment. He's a contributing author on the Simple Reminders Network. Steve has previously appeared on national and local radio, as well as television appearances on Sky, ITV, and recently making an appearance for BBC Children in Need. And guess what? He's going to add on there an international show, the Dr. Stem Show, when
of
he gets
course.
Off here. he's going to put that on his website.
Definitely.
So, yeah. And in addition, his work and life story have been written about in national and regional press. So we'll get to hear about that story here today. He's working with people from all walks of life, and he continues to assist a host of high-profile clients, including performing artists, published authors, government officials, multinational CEOs, and global business leaders, which he spoke spiritual strategies and intuitive guidance. I tell you, audience, you are going to want to listen to this one. I can't wait. I can't wait. So in lame terms, you know, just from your own perspective, tell the people what you do.
Okay. Yes. My main focus is to empower people,
yes.
is to make sure that people are empowered spiritually. And the line between spirituality and day-to-day life, I don't really believe that there is a line. So when you're empowered spiritually, it enables you to find direction in all aspects of your life. So for me, it's really about saying to people, I don't really call myself a spiritual teacher, because it's kind of, I'm trying to help guide people, kind of show them, but not tell them what to see. So it's kind of about making sure that people have the tools and the ability to find what they need from their life. And for a whole range of day-to-day aspects. I mean, for me, spirituality links into relationships, your work, your day-to-day life, love, death, all aspects. For me, it's completely inseparable. So it is important that we look for that, and also realizing that most of the answers already lie within us. It's just learning how to access that.
You know, I even had my first lesson yesterday, because we were scheduled to do this show, and I know I had it for yesterday, you had it for today. And and the way that I dealt with that, you know, just to give the people an example of what, you know, spirituality will do for you. You know, in most instances, that's when people panic and they get upset and they say, you know, it has disturbed my whole schedule and everything. But I found myself saying to myself, it wasn't meant to be at this time, because I sat, you know, in the studios and I waited for a while. And then I say to myself, you know what? It is well, because it's not supposed to happen today. It's supposed to happen tomorrow. And, you know, here we are today. It's nice and clear. It is perfect, you know. So, and that to me is such a significance of living in the spirit and letting things happen when they're supposed to happen.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's an absolutely brilliant example of how spirituality does feed into allowing you to have that space and that kind of ability to step outside of those instant gut reactions that can cause all kinds of negative situations that result from it. So yeah, I think that's an absolutely excellent example. It's you know, that it works from that kind of thing right the way through to being able to get perspectives when we lose somebody. And as you said, the lady that you found me through, it helps you to just see things just differently, just to take a step back. I think that's a great example.
So do you I mean, because then, you know, when people hear spirit, they're also talking maybe psychic as well. I mean, how do you differentiate, or is it the same for you?
Okay. Now, first things first, what I would say is I'm aware of, how could I put this? It's as if I'm aware of other realities or other dimensions, or maybe other beings, including God, including the spirit world, all kinds of things. So I tend to not describe myself as a psychic or a medium. I believe that is just a side effect of my personal path to spiritual awakening. So for me, along the way, it's almost as if I've got one foot in this world and another foot somewhere else. And as a result of that, I suppose growing up for me, it was quite hard sometimes to realize, first of all, that not everybody experiences it in the same way that I do, because it's something that I took for granted that I was experiencing. And to then kind of work with relationships with other people and to understand that they don't always have that insight straight away, because I took for granted that everybody else did. And it wasn't, you know, as I grew up, I kind of learned the hard way that that people don't always see it the same way that I do. Yeah. So it took a while for me to realize that it is a gift rather than something that, it was quite a disruptive ability growing up. But now I do realize that it is a gift and that I am able to find insight to help people through this kind of thing. So there is the psychic awareness, which is kind of, psychic is a very, very general term for a lot of different phenomena. So you could say that you know when somebody's going to phone you. You already know when the phone's going to go, and you know that who's going to be on the other end of the line. Now, it can start there, but then you can move into all kinds of other areas where you could look to the future. Mm-hmm. You might be able to get insight into someone's future. You may also find that you could see other places, which is another type of psychic phenomena called remote viewing, and you'd be able to look into other parts of the world or the universe and be able to see what's going on there. So that's, psychic is a very general term for a lot of different types of awareness outside of ourselves that doesn't relate to our physical senses. But when we move on to mediumship,
yes,
and we move on to the spirit world, again, mediumship can mean that you are a medium in the same way that a telephone is the medium between you and somebody else. You become a channel for whatever it is that you're bringing through. You become that mediator between yourself, the physical world and the spiritual world. Now, a medium, most people instantly think that that is to do with people who have passed away, and it is that. But also, it's really, it could be for God. It can be for anything and anybody else that is not a part of our physical world. So, those skills, it's something that I tend to shy away sometimes, I must admit, from the psychic or the medium words, just purely because of some of the pictures that it can sometimes conjure up in your mind. And for me, it's very much about being able to use those abilities to help people rather than it ever becoming a form of entertainment. So, which sometimes I see that spirituality for me is something that's so fundamental and such a part of everybody's, it should hopefully be a part of people's lives, but people miss out on it sometimes because of the pictures that they have conjured up in their minds through what they might have seen or read in a book or and so for me, it's about using those skills to enrich people's lives and to also say to people that, you know, we all have varying degrees of these abilities too, to help people to find their own way of being able to communicate with God or with the spirit world or whatever they choose, just so that they can find some of that inner guidance as well.
I think what comes to mind is also to help people that have blocks, you know, within them, either whether it's a past history of trauma or something that is going on in their lives that is blocking them from doing the very things that they need to do. So I think your work is very, very critical, you know, with the combination, of what you do.
You know, sometimes when we're going through a traumatic event in our lives, we need somebody who's outside of that to be able to give us the guidance that we need and to sometimes help us find those answers that are already within us. So spirituality, it works in so many different ways, and it's a very human thing. It's about having a conversation with people, and it is about just those light bulb moments where sometimes just things slip into place that it wouldn't have done so otherwise. So I work from a very human, down-to-earth level, at least I hope I do. I want to make spirituality accessible to everybody and to make it a practical, everyday thing that we integrate into all aspects of our lives. So, and like you said, particularly when people are going through something and they have a block, and what happens is sometimes if we go through a traumatic event, we can find that it's almost as if our lives go into a loop. Yes. And we become stuck in a repeating circle and unable to break out of that loop. And sometimes I hope it's just helping people to elevate themselves up out of that loop so that they can look down on it, see what they're doing, and basically hold a mirror up to themselves and help them to then find the tools that they need to be able to work their way out of it.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Well, it's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a lineup of great content back at AmericaOutloud.com.
You have a very soothing voice, so I know even for that you do it from a place of, you know, heart, an authentic place that you do this work. So I can attest to that for those of you that are listening to this podcast. So those are we were talking about, are those the same that they call limiting beliefs that you say you might be dealing with when you're talking to people about their blocks?
Yeah, it's the funny thing is you know, in our life, we kind of, it may be the whole point of our life is to realize that there never really were any limits. You know, we live a life where we're in a physical body and we have physical world and on all these limits that are imposed on us by our situation, our lives, our bodies, all kinds of things. But when you tap into your spiritual nature, by its very essence, spirituality is completely unlimited. And when you tap into that, you kind of transcend your physical barriers and your blocks, and it enables you to kind of spread your wings and to be able to explore other sides of you or other possibilities. So it really is about breaking those blocks and finding that, you know, we're not really limited at all.
So how did you start doing this again?
Okay.
Because this is unique. I mean, if we all have the gift, I mean, how do you get from, you know, being a child, and what are some of the instances that happened, you know, to tell your story on how you began doing this?
Okay. From my point of view, it was, I've been very, very lucky that from my point of view, it's something that's always been a part of me and my life.
Yeah.
I've always had the ability to be aware of other possibilities and other energies and that kind of thing. So yeah, growing up, I realized that most people, even if they do sometimes have a what we might call a psychic experience, yes. Even if they do, what they'll do is they'll reason and they will try and block it out. And sometimes there's usually fear, or there's the pressure from society not to accept that it could be something else, because if people are frightened of ridicule, sometimes people are frightened that there could be something bigger than them, that there's something that is outside of our physical control. So growing up, it was very difficult because I came up against it probably right the way through my life. From being a child, I think my first real experience was I lost my grandmother when I was four. Mm-hmm. And I was devastated. I wasn't old enough to fully understand what that meant, but I think I was mostly devastated because I could see how upset my mother was. Mm-hmm. So I didn't realize what was happening, but I didn't quite realize that she was gone, to the point that my mother would actually find that I would be talking to her, or I would be in my bedroom, the door shut, yes, talking to her as normal, as if I could still hear her, as if she was still there, and checking in on my mum, making sure she's okay. Yes. So I was aware from an early age that that people didn't really go anywhere else. Yeah. So growing up, I had some, I suppose to most people would seem strange experiences, so out of body experiences. So it became very apparent to me from an early age that the fact that I could move my consciousness from outside of my body, it became very apparent to me that I was more than my body, that I was more than that maybe my body wasn't who I am. So from an early age, I knew that there was more. It was something that was that I was just aware of. So going through school, it's one of those things where sometimes I would just know things. And when you just know something and you don't have proof, you don't have any way that you can tell people how you got that information, sometimes that can get you into a bit of trouble. And it doesn't always make you the most popular person for being able to do that. So yeah. So that can sometimes be a bit of a backlash. And also from doing what I do as well, I think you have to be a relatively sensitive person. Yeah. So I would always pick up on emotions and other people's emotions. They might not even, they might not have to say anything, but yet I'd be able to pick up on the depth of their emotion. But growing up, I would still pick up on that. And the problem with that is that you generally, the way I describe it is, if you look at somebody's life and imagine it's like an old fashioned vinyl record, and say when people go through a traumatic event, what it does is it carves a groove into that record, a deep groove. And usually the most traumatic or the events in our lives that make the greatest impact are the most traumatic ones. So naturally, from my point of view, what I did find was that I was picking up on the most traumatic events from people first. And that's a very hard thing to grow up with. And it kind of got to the point where when I reached my teenage years, like any teenager, I just wanted to be normal. I didn't want to be doing anything like this at all. So I kind of made the decision, it was a conscious decision, that I didn't want to follow this path. I didn't want to experience it any longer. So I followed my dreams, and I was in a band, and we had a record deal, and we were on TV and radio, and it was great. And but it was a very shallow, materialistic kind of existence, and that was fine, and it suited me. And but it was a very difficult path to be on. When I look back now, it wasn't as fulfilling as maybe I thought it would have been from the outside. When you see people on TV, and you see singers and people having a great time. That's all you think it is, but in the reality of it is just, it's very ordinary, and it's not, it didn't fulfill me in the way that my work now does. So I kind of, after following the band that I was in, I decided to pursue a career in sales and marketing, and I started my own business that did very, very well. And it wasn't until it kind of felt, though, that the further that I strayed from my spiritual path, the more difficult that my life started to become, until eventually my whole world kind of came crashing down, and my business that I'd put my heart and soul into, it stopped trading. It went from taking really good money to basically nothing, and I was having to make people redundant, and it was a real shock to my system, and it was a real shock to my ego. The business that had been built up was, it fed my ego, I think, and so for it to come crashing down, I needed to be brought back down to earth, and I was, with a bump. And so after that, I kind of had to reassess what I was doing, and everything to do with my spiritual path kind of started to come creeping back into my life. And just to go from having everything and not wanting for anything to literally having to scrape pennies together overnight was, I needed to have that to find the value within, rather than the value of material possessions and everything else around me. So I kind of rediscovered myself and went through, I started to explore spirituality again, sitting in groups, meeting people, going to meditation groups. And slowly but surely, I found myself a job in education. So and it was a completely different world to what I'd done before. I knew that I just wanted to help people. Yes. And that's all I knew. So for me, the first stop was education. And I trained to be a teacher and helping people that way. But I still didn't feel completely fulfilled until one day there was a reorganization at work. And I thought, do you know, this is my opportunity. I've got to go. I've got to follow what I want to do and just get my hands dirty and help people. And that was it. So, wow. So that's kind of a shortened version of how I got to where I am. But it's like everything else that went on before was an apprenticeship. Yes. In how to do what I'm doing now, the life experience that I'd had, the situations that I'd found myself in, and the it's almost as if when I look back on my life, there's several chapters and they're all very distinct chapters that don't really always relate to each other at all. But I've learned valuable lessons along the way. So, that's how I got into became, a spiritual kind of teacher and guide. And that's where I came from.
Thank you for sharing that story. I mean, it is full of lessons, as you said. But you know what? I'm a licensed psychotherapist here, so I'm in private practice and in the helping field, just like you do, where I talk to people and counsel them. And I'm also a life coach and a career coach, you know, that I do the same work online. I do that on Skype as well as in telephone and in person. So what I have noticed is when I look back in my life and I look at everything that was difficult, like you say, the challenging moments that have shaped who I am now, it's amazing how all the people, whether I'm at a conference and I'm speaking, because I'm also a motivational speaker, and I'm speaking and people come back to talk to me or they're in my office, they literally will be telling me my own story at some phase in my life that I went through. And now I'm having to help them overcome their own situations with the same way that I was, because I remember exactly where I was. And when I'm being told the story, it flashes right before me and said, that's why you had to go through it so that you can understand today. Do you find
absolutely
that happening?
Absolutely. It's amazing. Even though it might not be an identical situation,
Exactly. It's
to have the, it's actually, you know, it's quite strange because, I kind of do take this big step back from my life a lot now. So even when I go through an experience, something that really upsets me or something that is an emotional experience, I look at it as I'm going through it as a lesson. When I feel that intensity of the emotion and I feel that and I think, hold on, there's other people that will be feeling this. And it gives me an insight into their world and what they're feeling. They may be feeling it far more intensely than I am, but being able to do that and being able to be present when you're experiencing an emotion and to understand it and why you're feeling it does give you that insight to help other people. And yeah, your life experience and, it's life is a big, so many lessons.
Yes.
But if we can draw upon them and we can help other people as you do, it gives every, no matter how painful a lesson it is, it gives that event a purpose and it gives it meaning because you are able to help people straight away.
You say the two words that I wanted to make sure that the people that are listening understand what you do and the depth and importance of what you do to give people purpose and meaning.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, people are always searching for, you know, what's the meaning of my life? What's the purpose? Why am I here? Well, you know, at the end of the day, there's only a meaning to life if we give it meaning.
Exactly.
If we give it meaning and we find meaning in what we do, it's about us taking control of it and just saying, this is my purpose and this is what I do, and finding that meaning from our events. And that's what life's all about. And yeah, they're not always comfortable or happy events, and you know, we have to hold on to the ones that are. But yeah, it's a whole roller coaster of different emotions. So I think finding purpose and meaning, we all find it differently. But to go through an event and to understand it, that kind of, or to make sense of what you're going through at the time, yes, that's what I try to help people to do, just to find some meaning from the situation that they're in, to be able to take something away from it, but also to have a strategy to move forwards. I always think that's really important, so that when people feel helpless, to give them the tools to feel powerful again, to feel that they can take some steps forward in the right direction. That's what I always want to do. I think, and whether that is working with their spiritual side, or whether it is something that's a practical tools and skills that they can apply to their lives, I think it's very important that people walk away from a meeting with myself, whether it's on Skype, phone, or in person, that they do feel empowered. And that's what it's about.
Yeah, right. Because I think, you know, I mean, one thing that happens when trauma happens, or when people are not doing well, and now we're beginning a new year, and everyone is wondering, you know, is my year going to be, if those that were not as successful or that didn't do well in 2016, and thinking, is it going to be the same? And what do I need to change? And why is this happening to me? So I think with all that, you know, doing consults with you will help, you know, them sort all those things out, so that you know what to leave in 2016 and you know what to take into 2017 or into your future.
You are tuned in to the Dr. Stem Show. To reach Dr. Stem or her guest, please email us at drstem@americaoutloud.com. Now, back to Dr. Stem for more support, confidence, and hope.
So I'm thinking, if I was listening and I hear all the work that you do, that you have the ability to even, you know, see from another space, another place, you know, I'm here in the United States, and we are about to get, you know, inaugurated a new president. And the question is, what do you see? Are we going to be okay?
I do believe that everyone's going to be okay. Do you know, when I'm looking at the news reports, whether it's anything to do with what we see with the soon to be president, or anything else that's going on in the world,
yes,
whenever I watch the news, I just think, why are they showing us this? Yeah. What is it they want us to feel? What's the point of showing us this news article? So I don't necessarily believe everything that I see, whether it's the media, whether it's what I read in the papers. I just ask myself, why am I being shown it? What do they want me to feel? If there's fear involved, or we're being frightened, then I usually feel that that's a kind of manipulation. Anything that involves fear isn't usually a good motive. If there's hope, I believe that that's always a positive way to look forward. It's a constructive way of moving forward. So I do believe that we'll all be okay. Yes. I think that the world will be, we're going through some huge changes, yes, and not everything is as it seems. And there's, I feel that it's a time when people are going to look at things and think that the things that they thought that were bad turn out to be good, and vice versa. So I think that things are going to be flipped on their heads in all kinds of unexpected ways. So I think 2017 is a year for a lot of unexpected events to unfold, and for some of the things that we thought were right, maybe to be turned on their head a little bit. So I think it's going to be a year of us all reevaluating a lot, and it's going to be a year of immense change, I think even more so than 2016. So only if we can welcome those changes, and again, take a step back and be able to analyze what we're feeling and why other people want us to feel certain things or react in certain ways, I think that it's going to be a challenging year, but good.
So that's excellent. I cannot emphasize enough for those of you that are listening how your response as an individual and what your life story would determine how you react. And the more reason why I was so interested in having Steve Wentworth as our guest today, so that you can understand how you as an individual have to take that extra step to understand who you are, what your story is, and how it impacts what you do on a day-to-day basis and how you react to situations around you and within you. So, Steve, how can they get an appointment with you in order for them to get to understand who they are?
Okay, you can visit my website at stevewentworth.co.uk, or I'm on Facebook, and if you search Facebook pages for Steve Wentworth, you'll find me on there.
And guess what? He's got a Skype as well, which is where we're doing this interview today, and that Skype is always by appointment, so you might want to go to his website, which is exactly how I obtained this appointment. So he's very quick to answer your emails and also schedule you for an appointment, because I think it's critical that each individual takes that responsibility to understand how they're going to react, you know, to what's happening around us. As you say, change is imminent, you know, for all of us.
Absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. It's about us either riding the change. You know, you can't fight change.
No.
You either go with it and go with the flow and allow things to unfold, or you fight against it and find yourself really quite stressed out by it. So we need to get used to what's going on and find a way to work our way forward.
So when I was going through your website, I was fascinated by this write-up that you have there, and I'll just read it a little bit so that you can expand on it. You said the term spiritual gets used a lot these days. We frequently hear words and phrases such as, I'm a spiritual person, I'm religious, I believe in God, the universe, namaste, love, light, and amen. And these are scattered throughout conversations on a day-to-day basis. When we hear people quote passages from scripture or spiritual books and literature, it's easy to find ourselves convinced that they must be worthy, more righteous, more enlightened than we are. And I wanted to understand more about this, because that's the struggle. Does spiritual means you have to believe in God? Do you have to be godly? Do you have to know the Bible from, you know, front to back? What is it? Yes.
It's, you know, I think that there's a lot of very good people who can quote from scripture. And so there's nothing wrong with being able to do that. I think that what we have to be wary of are the people who can quote from scripture, but use it to either manipulate us, or they know the right words to say to convince you that they're a spiritual person. So it's about to recognize a spiritual person. I believe that we have to look beyond those initial appearances. Again, what are they showing us? Why do they want us to see this certain aspect of them? So it's about living your life, living what you preach, basically. If you can, a spiritual person for me, I don't believe that, as I've said before, it's, one of the big things is it's how you live your life. If you live your life in a way that allows God to work through you, I think that is the ultimate in being a spiritual person. You can see all kinds of people who do quote from books and have a lot to say and a lot of opinions, but actually it doesn't necessarily mean that they're very nice people. Or some of the things that they do might not be very nice. We have to look beyond, and we have to look at how that person is with other people, how they interact with other people. I know people who are who don't believe in God, and yet they are some of the nicest, kindest, caring people I have ever met. The contribution that they make to this world sometimes outshines the contribution that people make who claim to believe in God. So you have to ask yourself, you know, what is it that makes a spiritual person? Now, for me, spirituality is not just about the physical world. It goes far beyond that. So it's you know, if people want to live in a spiritual manner, that to me is what makes them spiritual. And also we have to remember that there's a lot of people that say that they don't believe in God, but they'll say that they believe in the universe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, or some people will say, well, God is the universe. Or some people will say, well, God is bigger than the universe. But we use all these labels and all these terms, which actually get in the way sometimes of realizing how much that we have in common. There's a lot of people that believe that God isn't a separate being, that he isn't a man sat on a white cloud who's separate from us, but people believe that everything that we see around us is God, and that's the proof of God, that God is not separate from us, God is within us and God is around us, and we can communicate with God because of that. So people have different terms, and just because we and that's one thing that I'm always very, very keen to do, is to find the common ground that we each have to enable us to realize how much we really do have in common with each other. We might get our information from maybe slightly different sources, or we might have a slightly different interpretation. So at the end of the day, because of those differences, the only way that you can judge whether somebody truly is spiritual is by how they live their life and how they are for other people, and kind of what they say is irrelevant. It's just, or what they proclaim to believe is irrelevant. It's how they live their life.
Wow. You know, as you're speaking, I just don't believe in coincidences. So I'll say it out loud here now. There's work that we are supposed to do, you know, together. So we probably will be doing a conference together someday. You'll be coming to the US, or I'll be coming to the UK. But there's so many similarities to what we do to help people live, you know, their God-given lives. You know, without fear or beyond their fear, you know, so I don't know. I just have to say that out loud.
Yeah, that would be great. Definitely.
Because I think that would be great to have us on stage, you know, with other, you know, professionals, people that, you know, do the same work, and do a conference where people can come in and get to see or hear us, you know, live. I think that that would be awesome. So we can talk about that, you know, once we finish. But as you just heard, you know, Steve put it well, you know, on his website, he also in addition says, well, guess what? In order for you to know if someone is spiritual, here are some questions that can help you to delve a little deeper into that. Are their words spoken with true love and compassion? Do their actions match their words? Do they act out of selflessness and kindness for others? Are they acting from their ego or inflated sense of self-importance? Do they use spiritual knowledge to empower themselves at the expense of others? Do they tell you their way is the only way, or try to control you? Do they exclude or isolate others? Are they using religion or spirituality as a form of spiritual one-manship? Are they trying to lure you by tempting you with material gain, financial wealth, or elevated status? I had to read those, you know, out loud, because a lot of people are getting sucked into all different kinds of, you know, the spiritual realm, as they, you know, might want to see it, and are confused as to, am I doing the right thing? Am I not? So I like the way that you put this into perspective, so people can have at least a guideline, or how do I know that I'm being taken, you know, in for granted, or I'm not?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to, yeah, thank you for, you know, I write these articles. I don't always, I can't remember everything.
You're
I've
like
written,
me.
So thank you.
Yes. I did my research.
Yes, you did. Thank you. I appreciate that. But I think it is important to have a guide as well, because you know, especially, say, for example, some people, you know, we live a global community, but there's small communities where people don't always step outside of that. So you kind of, or it can sometimes be a mentality where, because you've been brought up a certain way to believe a certain thing, you don't always step outside of that, or they don't encourage you to question whether what you believe, or to question the person who's giving you the information. But I think it's really important that we do that, that we hold those people accountable and we ask them, but why? Why are you telling me that I should believe this? Why? And I think it's really important that we do that. Yes. And to also to look at those people that are telling us how to live our lives a certain way and see if they are too. I think that's a really basic way of being able to look at that person and to see whether they're coming from that genuine space of love and care and compassion and kindness for their fellow human beings. So it's about, to me, God is and the universe, God is really very much about dropping some of the labels that we've had for a long time. Yes. And to look beyond the physical, to start to feel whether that person is spiritual, and to drop some of the things that we've been taught to judge people by, to assess their spirituality. So yeah, those questions are on my website as well, so people can look at them and can use them as a tool and a reference to guide them, hopefully.
Yes, and you know, you also, when people go onto your website, you also have a free guided meditation, right? Because I know you've received one.
Yeah, it's the meditation is something that I've used for a very long time, really, and I've used it for my for a lot of the workshops that I run. Yes. And it's just the original meditation is a bit longer than that, but I realize that not everybody has time to listen to an hour and a bit meditation, so I've condensed it down to about half an hour. But the meditation itself is to enable you, it kind of the universe will only give you what you're looking for. So if you set your intention to find something good and to find wisdom and to find knowledge, then that's what you'll get. And that's what this meditation does for people. It's about allowing yourself to be open to the universe and to allowing yourself to move beyond fear and to allow yourself to actually work with the universe. And this is similar to what we were saying about change, not being a barrier to it, going with the flow. And I think when we go with the flow of the universe, that's when great things really do start to happen to us. You know, opportunities come along, you meet incredible people. Yes. And your life becomes so much richer. And that's what this meditation does for you on a spiritual level, and hopefully that will filter down into your life as well.
What is the part that intuition plays into all this stuff that we've been talking about today?
Okay, intuition, it is that gut feeling.
Yes.
When you know that something, there's a fine line between using, you know, we have to be really careful that we don't allow ourselves to be prejudiced by experiences that we've had. Okay. Because, you know, you can go through life and say you've had a bad relationship and you meet somebody and you start to subconsciously look for similarities between that person and the previous person that you were in a relationship with. And they might just do something like eat in a certain way and it reminds you of that other person and it suddenly brings all the fear back. Well, that's not really intuition to me, because that's based on something else. Intuition is based on, you know, the experiences that you have before. Intuition for me is about going with your heart. Yes. It's about really feeling that connection and to allow yourself to be guided, it's almost like having your eyes opened, being able to look for the signs to show you that you're on the right path. For me, intuition is the start of allowing yourself to be open to psychic and spiritual influences as well. So being guided by that and realizing that God or the universe puts sometimes opportunities in our way for us to take them and to move forward. It's about intuition allows you to recognize when those opportunities have been given to you as well. So yeah, I think that there's a lot of people who, you know, intuition gets people a long way. When some of the world's biggest business leaders, they've all used intuition to get them where they are. They haven't necessarily done a management business training course. They've just used their gut instinct. And, you know, sometimes that can work against you. But actually, I think that when you learn to tune into it, if you ask any of the big business leaders in the world, yeah. how did they get to where they are? They'll tell you, I just knew. I just followed my gut instinct. And that's their intuition kicking in. And it can, when we learn to tune into that, it can do tremendous things for us. I do try to help people to tune into it for themselves. There's certain techniques and things that you can do to help you to feel more in tune with your own intuition, but it's different for everybody. Part of the process really is having to learn to know the person that I'm speaking to and to find out how they would tap into their own intuition. Some people will tell you that they, you know, when they start to become really aware of their intuition, some people might even find that they feel a certain physical sensation in their body that tells them yes or no. And that's their sign to know whether they're making the right decision or not. For me personally, I have kind of one of my prayers or one of my meditations that I do is just to say to God and the universe, I'm ready for it. Come on, let's do this. And yes. I just put my complete trust that that God will show me the right path and take me to the right place and meet the right people. And I just trust that. So yeah, there's intuition, and also for me, it's also about putting my faith in something greater than me as well.
Well said, well said. And that's my prayer as well, that, you know, he uses me. In fact, you know, growing up, I remember I'm originally from Zimbabwe, by the way.
Okay.
So, you know, I remember originally, you know, when I was growing up, I always used to play, and I still play a song titled, I Want to Be More Than an Ordinary Servant.
Yeah.
I want you to use me more than I can even see for myself, you know, what that is. And it does and has helped me to connect with people that I could never have dreamed in my life with the work that I do. And you know,
absolutely.
Today I am so happy to add you to that list of those unique people that I have connected with.
And I am you too.
Yes, it's really, really awesome. You know, because we started the show and I was explaining on how I saw you on one lady's you know, Facebook page who was grieving, I'm sure a lot of people will want to ask, are you able to connect with the deceased, you know, ones when you read, you know, or when you talk to a person who's in grief? Are you able to connect with their loved one who's passed on?
Sometimes, okay. Yes. It all depends again. See, okay. This is why I try to, when people come for a consultation with me,
yes.
it's based on my experience,
yes.
my connection to God, my awareness sometimes of people in the spirit world, and
yes.
also what people might call a psychic ability and being able to just see beyond the physical kind of world as well. So it's based
yes.
on a number of different things. Now, yes, I, you know, one of the things that I do, and I regularly do it for people as well, is I will try to find evidence for them that their loved one has passed over and that they're still there and still around them.
Okay.
But it's not always appropriate.
Yes.
It's not always the thing that will help people with dealing with grief. Sometimes
yes.
it's nice to know that they're there, but I'm very, if people want to come and see me and speak to me about that kind of thing, that I'm absolutely willing to help them and to show them and to but I want to empower people to also do that as well.
Yes.
The strange thing is it might sound quite strange, but I don't want people to rely on me. I want people to be able to find their own connection and to discover their own ability to be able to find that and do that themselves. So I see myself as a stepping stone. So yes, if I can help people to do that in the first instance, that's fine. But I don't want to become someone's phone call home. I want to become the stepping stone that enables them to do that themselves. It's very much about helping people to do that. But yeah, my biggest message is to empower people and
yes.
to feel their own spiritual connection too.
And you know what I found on your website that was very helpful is you know, the way that you ask people to tell you the, you know, to come up with questions of what it is that they want. I'm sure with every consultation, you're able to give, you know, someone what it is that they are looking for, and they'll get the answers to be able to move on and have the hope, you know, to live the next day.
That's it. Yeah. It is about making sure that, you know, when I always want to make sure that I give people hope when they don't feel that there is any hope. Or to show them that there is another way, that there's always hope. Yeah, when I always ask people to make sure that when they're in a consultation with me, time's limited, so I want them to make sure that they know what they want to ask before we start speaking. It might be, though, that when a consultation starts with me, that the initial reason that they thought that they were coming for a consultation with me might not actually be the reason that we discover by the end of it.
That's awesome.
I give people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And that's the whole point. Everything's always delivered in a way that will make sure that it's sensitively put, and that it's done in a way that isn't going to upset or anybody at all. But it's always about making sure that people come away from that meeting with something that's valuable. I don't want to just give people what they want to hear, because then there's no value to the meeting at all. The whole point is about spiritual growth, and sometimes the only way that we grow is when we get what we need.
Wow, Steve, I wish that we could do this for more time, another hour, but we do have to end the show. So,
okay.
Yeah, before we end, any words of empowerment as we part?
For the listeners?
Yes.
For the listeners, as I would say before, it's embrace change. Go with what's happening. Look for the positives and start the change within yourself as well. If you don't like the world as it is, or as it might appear to be moving, look at it, look inside, see what you can do inside, and work on yourself, and the relationships and the world around you will start to change in the way that you want.
Wow. I will end with Steve Wentworth's own words on his website again. He says, whether we consider ourselves spiritual or not, love, compassion, kindness, and joy is the only language God speaks when he expresses himself through us. When we open our eyes, ears, hearts, and mind, we often find that God is working through some very unexpected people in our lives, sometimes in subtle ways that aren't always immediately obvious. So never take anything on face value, and never be afraid to delve deeper. This is Dr. Stem from the Dr. Stem Show. And as I always say, be encouraged and encouraging.